Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to tonight's late night happy hour Land O Lakers crossover edition. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Thursday night, the Lakers and Nets play in what was, Andy, supposed to be a completely one of these marquee, circle it on your calendar games. No AD, no Dennis Schroeder, as it turns out, and a bit of a surprise, which we'll certainly get into. No Kevin Durant, not quite what people wanted to see.
No, unfortunately. I mean, this was a game that it even seemed like it was going to have some pretty good fireworks when we knew that Durant had already been listed as out, and AD we knew was out because of the Achilles / calf strain. And there's been some clarity now, seeing a bunch of tweets coming out. The game just ended, and unfortunately Brian and I aren't able to follow along with these post-game press conferences because we are entertaining you good people. But seeing a bunch of tweets from people covering the Lakers that Anthony Davis is going to be out for 4 weeks. It is suspected he's going to get reevaluated then. It's being referred to now as a calf strain, I'm seeing. And we were always hearing about the Achilles tendinosis, which just sounds scarier, Brian. Like, whenever you hear Achilles, it's more frightening.
Achilles is worse. Like, this could be the most lethal calf strain of all time. Like, this could be a calf strain that puts him on death's door, and it still sounds better than an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
It just does.
Bill Oram, Frank Vogel said Anthony Davis was reevaluated by the team doctors tonight. He'll be out 4 weeks. Team doctors confirm the calf strain. Really, that could be worse than Achilles tendinosis, but just we have become so accustomed to having the shit scared of us by an Achilles.
I hear that, though, and I picture the scene in Catch Me If You Can when DiCaprio is pretending to be a doctor and is in the emergency room. Do you concur? Yes, I concur. It's a calf strain.
Exactly.
The doctors all concur. Calf strain. Yes, calf strain. So lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff to get into tonight. But first, I want to let you know that any Lando Lakers podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, brought to you by betonline.ag. Football's over, Andy, but the NBA, college basketball, the NHL are in full swing. And the only place you should be betting on all these sports is betonline.ag. BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. You want to bet on the Golden Globes? Do it. BetOnline has hundreds of props with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine. Of course, 24-hour online casino. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Also, the Land of Lakers podcast is always brought to you by the folks over at Delicious Pizza. Two locations, West Adams and Hollywood. 20% off if you use the password Cam Brothers for delivery or pickup. You are supporting local business. You are supporting the local business of a massive Laker fan and getting awesome pizza in the process. So again, Delicious pizza, two locations, West Adams and Hollywood, 20% off if you use the password Cam Brothers.
All right, so the final score tonight, Andy, was 109-98. And as we mentioned, the game sort of lost its luster before it even started. I chose to look at this very much like Magic Johnson would, because nobody makes lemonade out of lemons better than Magic Johnson. And so before the game, he tweeted, "I always love big NBA games. The Lakers and Nets will be exciting to watch even without KD and AD because of MVP candidates LeBron James and James Harden, as well as their teammates." Like, that is as sunshiny a way of looking at this game as you possibly could. And I said to myself, if that is good enough for Magic Johnson, that's going to be good enough for me. And that's how I chose to look at this game. I don't pay attention to what anything the Lakers are doing, particularly without Schroeder and Davis.
And we should clarify, by the way, because we haven't, why Dennis Schroeder was out.
We'll talk about the impact in a second. He was removed after, I think it was even after Frank Vogel spoke, surprised the Lakers because of protocols for COVID. And I don't know, they won't ever tell you. It hasn't been reported yet whether or not it's because of a positive test for Schroeder or just because he was too close to somebody who is in the protocol. So we'll find out more about that and the impact as we go along. But I wasn't worried about anything, Andy, that the Lakers were doing at all tonight. There's just no lessons you can take from it without all of these players. I officially am 100% on board with what the Nets are trying to do. It is like the basketball equivalent of like the cheeseburger fad diet. Remember, like all those things, like, you know, like the idea is like you can lose weight. And some people are reporting on the chat board, someone tweeted contact tracing. That's what I thought, but I don't know. And so, you know, we presume too much because it makes a big difference in how long he might be out.
And the after effects
for sure. So, but like you watch the Nets play and everybody always says, you know, defense wins championships and all that. Defense sucks, Andy. Defense is boring. It's hard. Nobody wants to do it. You know what's fun? You know what's awesome? You know what tastes great? Cheeseburgers.
Yeah, they do.
That's essentially what the Nets are doing. It is
there's a reason America's fat, Brian.
Yes.
Cheeseburgers taste really good.
Can you win a title on the cheeseburger diet? Like, how much weight can you lose on the cheeseburger diet? And I think to me that is kind of what the Nets are. And I'm here for it because I'm one of the rare people, I think, who actually enjoys watching James Harden play. At least one of the rare people in Los Angeles who talks about the Lakers. Kyrie is incredible fun. And KD didn't even play tonight. He's Kevin Durant. Like, every game they play since they've made this trade is totally fun. And I'm just here for the fun. Like, I'm not a basketball purist. I've never claimed to be. Give me this for a season or two. I'm all in.
Yeah. I've said this many times. I don't buy into the Nets as a team that can win a championship because, as you've been saying, I don't think they play good enough defense and I don't think they're going to be capable of actually ratcheting up the level of their defense because I just don't think they have the pieces there. I mean, maybe they make a trade, maybe they do something in the buyout market. Whether or not they can actually win a championship has nothing to do with whether or not they're actually fun to watch. There are some shitty teams around the league, you know, this season, seasons past, that, you know, would have been lucky to make the playoffs, but they were still actually fun to watch. Those are two separate things. You know, like, Brian, I am a massive, massive fan of the Fast and the Furious series. Like, none of those movies are ever going to be, you know, sniffing the National Film Review Critics Awards or anything like that, even though I think some of them are very well made or whatever. They deliver fun. They're supposed to be fun. They are fun. Whether or not those movies have the substance to, as you had said before, like a film purist, or in this case with the Nets, a basketball purist, that's for some other people to enjoy, I mean, to, I guess, judge. But for the time being, they're entertaining. I mean, they are definitely entertaining, and their ability to turn ordinary guys into amazing three-point shooters, it's pretty fun.
Well, I mean, just it's that level of talent it's fun to watch people score. It's a little like, you know, what makes All-Star games, if you like them, kind of, it's like you see these dudes at their, like, what would happen if, you know, they were just sort of able to do whatever they want. Nobody really tried to stop them. And you know, in this case, people are trying to stop them. They're just so good on that side that, you know, that it's fine. Like, I'm not sure I would want my team to be doing this. Like, if I were a fan of the Brooklyn Nets, I might be probably a little less enthusiastic about this whole thing, just because, you know, I would care more about the result, but I'm not. And so, you know, this to me is just like a fun sideshow that if it works, great. We'd get a spectacularly entertaining finals between the Lakers and Nets if it made it that far. And if it doesn't, great. Then we'll get a different entertaining finals somehow.
Los JIV has a perfect analogy. Going back to what I was saying about the Fast and the Furious series, the Nets will go down as Tokyo Drift. Absolutely. Because Tokyo Drift is by far the shittiest of all of the Fast and the Furious in the entire, of all eight of them, and the spinoff Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. Tokyo Drift is absolutely the worst of them as a movie, but there are a handful of absolutely spectacular scenes of drifting. And those scenes of drifting are the equivalent of the Nets explosion that you'll see offensively. Like, at times, it's going to be just empty caloried fun.
Yep.
But like Tokyo Drift, it's not going to go anywhere.
Well, it might. Eric X 21069 agrees, I think, with me. It might go somewhere. This is if there ever was a season, he says, you can win on a cheeseburger, it's going to be this one. It is a strange season. It might be cheeseburger season. I watch the Nets whenever possible. So, I mean, we'll see what happens here. They held the Lakers tonight to, I'm looking at the percentages, 48% from the floor. It was much worse than that earlier in the game. Lakers went 24 points in the first quarter, 21 in the third. The Lakers did not put up much offensively tonight, only 26%. From three-point range, but I'm not going to give the Nets a ton of credit for shutting down this Lakers team that was missing two of its four best offensive players and all of the guys except LeBron who can handle the ball and set up an offense. I mean, when LeBron's off the floor, you look at the players they had available and go, how on earth are they going to generate buckets?
I was going to say it's obviously an issue not having your second and third best scoring options in Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, respectively. But when you take into account that you're also missing in Schroeder and in Davis, your second and fourth leading assist men,
yes,
or assist percentage guys, like, you start looking at the options out there, and it's basically LeBron go ham and hope Kuzma can maybe put up 20. And from there, it's like, you know, Montrezl Harrell can score, but he more often than not needs to be set up.
And yeah, you have to put him somewhere.
Right. You're low on options for the guys who can do that. You know, Talen Horton Tucker is starting to become pretty erratic when he's out there now. Like, he's in this stage right now, I think, THT, and both of us love THT. Both of us think he is a legit talent. He's going to be a legit, I think, far better than average NBA player.
Right. And I think will be significant this season. I don't think this stretch he's in now means he won't be an important player this season.
No, but what we are seeing now, I think, is the effect of teams starting to key in on him now, teams starting to make adjustments to him. And more often than not, it is more difficult for young players to adjust to adjustments than coaches to make those adjustments in the first place. And I think we're seeing that right now with THD, and that is part of the process. The timing of it is just really bad for the Lakers right now.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's like, I think both of us have been enthusiastic about it. Both of us have put out a bit of a slow your roll vibe when it comes to THT. So, but there isn't much to learn from this. And, assuming that Schroeder is not gone for a long time,
tested positive and feels the effects for a while. Like we just recently saw that Jason Tatum is still not quite back to where he was. And, there are a lot of guys around the league who've had COVID, and they've said that this has been difficult to get over.
Again, let's just assume we can play, both sides, but I guess, let's assume for the time being that it is just contact tracing and misses a few games or whatever. Jason Jones earlier this week pointed out when we had him on the late night happy hour, pointed out that this stretch without AD isn't necessarily valuable in evaluating how good the Lakers are, but it is valuable in terms of an increased amount of responsibility for somebody like Schroeder to, play a bigger role in the offense, to have the ball in his hands in bigger possessions and do all this other stuff and learn the other guys, learn their tendencies, and for the group to learn to function without Davis. Because, Jason made the point, and I think it was an excellent one. There's going to be a moment. AD's got four fouls. He fouled out of a game, whatever it might be, one game somewhere along this stretch where the Lakers hopefully are trying to get back to a finals and win another championship, where they're going to have to do something without AD on the floor. And they can go back to this 15, and I hadn't thought about this, but they can go back to this, 9-game stretch, 10-game stretch, whatever it turns into, and draw on that successfully if they can get through it. The more Schroeder is unable to play, the less these sorts of things apply. The more the lineup gets raggedy in Davis's absence, the less things like that can be useful. And now you're really just talking about, maybe Wes Matthews works himself into a rhythm. Maybe Markieff Morris gets, shakes off the rust. But there's so much time left in the season that even if Morris shakes off the rust, it's just going to form again before the playoffs.
He actually didn't even play that much. I was surprised. He only played 10 minutes.
Well, they go so small. When Jordan's not playing, the Nets are a wee bunch. They do not, it's a lot of Jeff Green, as a quasi center. So
yeah, I'm just saying, it's just interesting to see a game without Anthony Davis, without Schroeder. So you just need production coming from different places. And as we had said before, THT starting to, slump a bit, that sort of thing. I it's a little surprising Keith didn't play, in terms of shaking off the rust, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's frustrating because we have officially reached that point, and the Davis injury only reinforces it. How with so many teams around the league, They're intriguing. The Nets are completely intriguing to watch. The development of the Suns is intriguing to watch. How some of these teams come together. With the Lakers, everything is on the margins. And at least for me, all I really care about is, did anybody get hurt tonight? Did anybody get hurt tonight? Because ultimately, that's what's going to matter with the Lakers.
Yeah.
The little stuff, how they, how proficient they can be with this movement on defense or that action on offense. My point isn't that those things don't matter, but I think we kind of have an idea of what this team is, how they're going to function, how they're going to win. Even with the roster turnover, Andy, I think there's enough from last year's template that we kind of understand how this year is going to work. And I just want to fast forward to the really good part, that down the stretch, watching them crank it up and then the playoffs. Because everything else in between is only stuff that can screw it up. What really good can happen in the 25 games in between versus something bad? As opposed to, again, a team like the Nets who can start to build up their defense, or the Jazz who can really form themselves into a legitimate title contender. All that. You just watch Laker games with your fingers crossed.
Well, it's not that nothing good can come from these games for the Lakers. It's just, it's, it's more relative goodness because you already know the foundation is there. So, you know, a guy like Kyle Kuzma sustaining the season he's had all year or even building on it more, that's obviously a great thing. But the Lakers have already shown by definition that they can win a championship without Kyle Kuzma playing at this level. You know, right. Montrezl Harrell, I think, is having a good season, but he's basically doing exactly what I thought he'd be doing. You know, maybe he cranks it up a notch, something like that. But, you know, there are these developments that can matter, and those can obviously happen over the course of this season. But you are correct that there aren't that many sort of jarring, for lack of a better word, but in a positive sense. You know, there aren't that many eye-popping.
There's not that thing that you're looking like they've got. Like, you know, even last year came together a lot faster, I think, than people thought, but it was still a work in progress. We didn't know how it was going to end. There's not that thing that you look for with the Lakers where, like, you know, they got to get to this place. They've got to, you know, figure out how to, reach a certain level defensively or defend whatever it might be, or a certain player has to step up. It's, you know, there's not that thing that you can cling to and say, will they get to there? We know they can get to there.
Well, what you do is you look for certain milestones, and, you know, LeBron tonight hit 35,000 points. And you know what's funny? Like, watching this with LeBron, and, you know, obviously that is absolutely amazing. He is now in this company. The top five is Kareem, Karl Malone, LeBron, Kobe, MJ. And, you know, it's pretty obvious by now that if LeBron ends up playing as long as we suspect that he will, and if he doesn't end up having any, you know, major injury, you know, something happens that causes him to miss a large chunk of however many seasons he's going to end up playing, he's going to pass Kareem. Like, he is, I think, more likely than not going to end up finishing his career as the all-time leading scorer. And getting to 35,000 tonight, you know, he is one of, I think, three, four players. I don't remember how many MJ has, but, you know, a literal 30, handful.
Well, I can't tell you.
A literal handful.
I can't tell you, Andy, because it's going to influence the game that we're about to play.
Okay. But it was funny. Like, there was a part of me that just went like, oh, okay. Because you just expect that that's what LeBron's going to do. And it kind of reminded me of when you and I were covering Kobe. You and I would marvel at all these different milestones that Kobe hit, because there were a zillion of them. And, you know, if you covered him long enough, like you and I did, it felt like every fourth or fifth game, especially towards the tail end of his career, he was climbing up some type of ladder or, you know, setting some type of new record. After a while, you don't lose sight of how amazing what they do is, but you sort of grow numb to the awe of it. You know what I mean? Like, there's this expectation that it's going to happen after a while with somebody like Kobe. And then having seen Kobe do all of this, there sort of becomes this expectation that LeBron would do it, because this is just what great players do.
Yeah. You remember that stretch where Kobe scored like 50 points a game for like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And it became normal. And then, like, he had like three games in a row where he was in like the 30s, like the mid 30s. And you're like, he's really cooled off. It's like, it's like, you are 100% correct. Like, it is numbing to watch greatness all the time. And it's not just LeBron. I mean, I feel like we do this with a lot of athletes in a lot of sports where you start to forget how good they are because they don't do impossible things every game. Like, you know, they just do impossible things most games. And it does. I mean, like, I have enjoyed, I've answered this question a few different times in a few different ways about, like, which version of LeBron do I like the best. I did it for Roger Lodge. We did it with the Lauer podcast, which is coming out soon, which recorded today, which is super fun.
Yeah, we were excited to be on there.
And so that was fun, and we're looking forward to that coming out. But, like, I have a bunch of different ways I've been asked this question recently. And my answer is, I mean, I think he was at his best in the second Cleveland thing. Like, that was the best bringing together of his physical ability with his mental ability to control the game. Like what he did, what he did to beat Golden State was insane.
Yes.
Like that was incredible. You know, so that combined with, you know, the mental stuff, it made him amazing. But like, I find him so fascinating now, more so than I did in Miami. Even though he might have been a better player physically then, like this to me is the most interesting version of LeBron.
I just think he's more interesting because he's more bald now. Like just you just
that's why he's more handsome.
Well, you just watch the hair, man. You watch the evolution. He's got like a Friar Tuck thing going right now. Like it's really. But the more awkward that hair grows, the more the balding goes, the more it really reinforces. Holy shit, people should not be able to do what he's doing at his age with that type of mileage. It's just like, it's a reminder of how long he's been doing this. Like the more his hair gets jacked up, the more LeBron becomes impressive. It's well, a nice,
you know,
it's,
it reminds me of, you know, it's like he's trying to remind, Hey, conversations down here, you know, like stop looking up there. Conversations down here, you know,
yeah.
Like let's watch the body. Let's not watch the hairline.
I think what we've discovered is we can watch both, can and do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am both. Personally quite attuned to these sorts of things. Post-game chat asked a good question. Do the Lakers play in Brooklyn this year? I think they're supposed to play once, right?
I think they will. I mean, truth be told,
second half of the season hasn't been released yet. So
I was going to say, we don't actually know. I mean, I believe so.
I think you're supposed to play everywhere once.
I believe that is the case, but truth be told, we don't know, especially because with certain teams needing games made up, I don't know exactly how all of this is going to end up working. You know, that sort of thing. Like I would assume they're going to go to Brooklyn, but I can't say with absolute certainty.
All right. So I have this put together for LeBron James in honor of 35,000 points, which is just a staggering amount of points. I mean, really break that down. That is a lot of points, 35,000. Yeah. But what I want to play with you, Andy, is a game. It's a quiz, and everybody watching on the chat board can play along as well. Over under 35,000 points. I'm going to give you a combination of players, and you have to tell me whether or not this combination scored together more than 35,000 points. Pretty simple. So you got it?
Yeah.
Here we go. Combination number one, Andre Miller plus Rudy Gay. Over or under 35,000 points. Andre Miller plus Rudy Gay.
I'm going to go under.
That is correct. Under 16,278 plus 16,477, 32,755 combined for those guys.
I'm actually surprised Andre Miller had that many points.
That's what I thought was interesting. Most of these numbers you're going to find I pulled because I find the player interesting. LaMarcus Aldridge plus Antoine Jameson.
Over.
Yes, that is correct. Those two guys combined for 39,897 points, 20,000 of which belong to Jameson. Jameson scored 20,000 points in the NBA.
Well, Antoine Jameson stayed in the league for a lot of years, and it was not because he was well-rounded.
No.
Because that dude could,
no.
That dude could put up points. Remember the game? I think it's either 2000 or 2001, like around there, where he and Kobe both put up 51. In the same game when Jameson was with the
absolutely
Warriors.
Totally remember that.
That was an awesome game.
Yeah, that was fun. And very much a reminder of it. He was also we talk about guys like on the Nets who are able and not able to play defense. I've told this story before. Antoine Jameson was at the wrong end of, I thought, the greatest insult I've ever heard a coach deliver. He was talking about Jameson and why he struggled on the defensive end for the Lakers. It was Dan D'Antoni, brother of Mike D'Antoni, described Jameson as high-assed like a flamingo. And that's why he couldn't play defense. His ass was too high in the wrong place.
Good guy, though. Jameson's a really good guy.
Wonderful guy. And he and also D'Antoni made a good point. Flamingos' asses are way up there.
I think people got it.
Number three, Smush Parker plus Michael Jordan. Smush Parker plus Michael Jordan.
It's got to be over
or under 35,000 points.
It's got to be over.
Under. Under. And you can mostly blame Smush Parker.
No, but how many did Jordan have?
32,292. Smush Parker only had 2,469 for a total of 34,761. That was an under.
I would have thought, I knew that Smush obviously wasn't going to be carrying that load. I just thought that his two seasons with the Lakers, he scored enough that I thought he could make up the balance. But all right.
Yeah, I'm not making it up. All right, here we go. Dwight Howard plus Magic Johnson. Dwight Howard plus Magic Johnson.
I'm going to go under with that.
You are wrong. That is over.
Interesting.
36,508. 18,801 points for Dwight Howard, only 17,707 for Magic. Magic scored, I think, less than most people remember.
Okay. I thought, what did I say? I said over or under.
You said under.
Okay. Yeah. I because Magic scored fewer than that, I thought that they were going to fall just under, but okay.
Yeah. And Dwight, I think, has probably scored more than people think too, because he hasn't been a scorer for a long time. He's also been at it a while. Slava Medvedenko plus Kobe Bryant. Slava Medvedenko plus Kobe Bryant.
It's over no matter what the numbers say.
Slava Medvedenko scored 29,483 points. Very near Kobe. No, I'm kidding. It is over, but not by much. 33,643 points for Kobe. 1,390 for Slava. That does push them over. 35,033 for the combination of Slava Medvedenko and Kobe Bryant.
Amazingly enough, Slava put up 35,000 shots, though.
Right. Slava scored 35,000 in our minds, but not necessarily.
Certainly on the floor. In Slava's mind.
Yes. Michael Thompson plus Clyde Drexler. Michael Thompson plus Clyde Drexler, two Portland guys. In a lot of ways. And of course, now a Lakers legend.
I'm going to say that's an under.
Under, you are incorrect, but not really? By much. 12,810 for Michael Thompson, 22,195 for Clyde the Glide. They clear it by 5 points.
Huh. Okay. Well,
all right. There's a couple more of these and then we'll move on. Damian Lillard plus Thad Young.
It's got to be under.
It is under. It's only 28,653, but Thad Young has scored 15,692 points as an NBA player.
Yeah, man, stay with it long enough. You can make some things happen.
All right, last one. Von Wafer plus Sun Yue.
Over.
No. Von Wafer plus Sun Yue plus Nick Van Exel plus Russell Westbrook. Von Wafer plus Sun Yue plus Nick Van Exel plus Russell Westbrook. Over or under 35,000
points. Von scored disappointingly fewer points than one would expect, or certainly that Von expected.
That is correct. That
feels like an under.
That is under. Not by much, but it is under. 1,000
like 7 points.
You're very close. 1,054 points for Von Wafer. 6 for Sun Yue.
Yes, I was really damn close.
You know, in that way, in that sense, he was the Chinese Magic Johnson, which is how he was advertised. Magic, as we just mentioned, probably scored fewer points than people thought. Granted, 17,700 is a lot more. But anyway, so 6 points for Sun Yue, 12,658 for Nick the Quick, and 20,771 and counting for Russ. But that is only 34,489. So gives you an idea of how hard it is to score 35,000 points that you can put almost you can put like a guy who had a 5 or whatever 6 year pro career with Kobe and still not get there.
Yeah, it's a lot of damn points all by yourself. Again, we grow numb to stuff like this from LeBron, but it doesn't take away from the fact it's an amazing achievement. The dude's just unbelievable.
All right. So we want to talk a little bit of All-Star Game here stuff in a second. We'll play some sound from Adam Silver. But before that, Andy,
And I just want to, before we, as long as we're doing this, I was going to try to move that quote that's in the middle of the screen, but maybe you can do it while I read. We would do want to remind people that Believe and eBay are working together right now. And I want to give a brief moment to talk about eBay, whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for as the original sneaker marketplace. eBay is a place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, the logo, the stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity and protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers over $100, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. So Adam Silver is getting a little heat for this All-Star thing, Andy. It's not going well.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. It's been officially confirmed now. It had been reported for a while that it was going to be the weekend of March 6th and 7th, but it has now been officially confirmed by the league. That did not actually happen until today.
No, it is going to be the most not fun All-Star game in the history of All-Star games. Nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody's allowed to do anything. Nobody's allowed to do any of the stuff that would make an All-Star game worth playing in. And because of that, it's starting to cause a lot of tension, I think, between the league and the players. And it is an unusual place for the league to be. They don't normally find themselves here. I am really curious as to what the fallout might be.
Players are not happy. They are not happy at all. And what'll really be interesting about this too is just the way the game is received by fans. Because I mean, look, I don't want to take away too much from Twitter reaction, just because Twitter is not real life. Twitter represents just a small percentage of actual human beings walking the earth who care about the NBA, even though NBA Twitter is an incredibly active space. I have sensed absolutely zero enthusiasm for this game among fans, like at all. Even taking into account sometimes, you know, NBA fans like, with the All-Star weekend, I have sensed no enthusiasm at all. The overriding sentiment I've seen social media, you know, space like this show, is just that this is really stupid and there's no reason to be doing this at all.
Yeah, I mean, what I would love to see is just, and I don't know if it's a matter of revenue generation or revenue preservation. They're basically the same thing. I really would love to know what the number is. And it was interesting. Adam Silver, we'll play this for you in a second. Adam Silver talked to Rachel Nichols at ESPN, and you know, how he framed and some of the, you know, the things that they're trying to do, they're doing their best to make it seem like something that needs to be done, that should be done, and justify why it's being done. But here, we'll play for you right now. It's hard for them to do, and it's a difficult thing to pull off.
We saw NFL fans pour into Tampa for the Super Bowl. I know that Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has told fans not to travel for All-Star Weekend, but how difficult do you expect it to be for fans to comply?
I don't think it'll be that difficult because, and it's amazing what the NFL pulled off, finishing their season and, of course, crowning a champion in Tampa with the Super Bowl. But they had fans. We are not, our event will not be open to the public. We'll have a small number of fans representing HBCUs, which was part of our announcement, Historically Black Colleges and Universities. It was actually Chris Paul's idea to sort of center on those schools and focus attention and resources on that school, plus COVID equity issues in the country. But so there'll be, you know, roughly 1,000 people representing those institutions, but there will not be tickets open to the public. And I actually agree with the mayor of Atlanta. We don't want people to gather for events around this All-Star. There will be absolutely no social functions in Atlanta, no ticketed events, no parties. It is a made-for-television event at this point, And it's largely in Atlanta because that's where Turner Sports is located, who host this event. And of course, we have the Hawks and a state-of-the-art arena in State Farm. But that's why we're there. And so we agree with the mayor.
You know, it's interesting, Andy, to hear him talk about, like, it was safety. You know, that's one of the criticisms sort of that people are saying. That's not why nobody wants to play in this game. It's not because they're worried about getting COVID. I am more sympathetic to the money argument. Like, I have seen a lot of people. I've had debates with people. Like, they shouldn't be playing. The players are being forced to play, and all the like. They're not being allowed to opt out or whatever it might be. Like, they're not being put in a position that's fair to them. I think it would actually be unfair for the league not to try to figure out ways to stage the season, because it screws these guys out of a very limited window where they can make money. And we're not just talking about earning a little bit of money here, like life-changing generational wealth building money that you have, if you are lucky, 6-7 years maybe to be able to do it for the average guy. You take one of those away, even for a pandemic, you do not get it back. And so I understand and I'm sympathetic to the argument, but it's not like taking time away from work from normal people who have a 40-year time frame or 50 years where they might be working in whatever job. These guys have a very limited time. And so I don't blame them in the slightest for wanting to figure out any way they possibly can to play. I don't get upset at the guys who, like Giannis or LeBron or whoever, who drive so much revenue for the league, having to do this, like, kind of just do us a solid.
Well, I
think they ultimately probably should, but I don't blame them for being upset about it.
Well, just look, phrase it as, I guess, tastefully as possible. It's a money thing. Like, we are looking to get back every possible penny that we can. That's the reason we're doing this, because where I think it becomes sort of distastefully disingenuous is when you start talking about the HBCU donations and things like that. I mean, the league can afford to make those
check
donations. Right.
Right. Let 1,000 people from HBCUs into every game for the rest of the year. That's easy. Right.
Fine. Exactly. There are ways that you can address HBCUs, which is a great cause to get behind.
Sure.
Without holding this All-Star game. This All-Star game is first, foremost, and last about a money grab. And that's okay. As you said, I agree with you. The money matters, but let's not pretend that it is about anything, like literally
right,
anything other than the money. It's not even about the game. The game's going to suck.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because they're by the way, they're doing everything. The plan is to do everything in one night. All-Star yeah. game, skills challenge. I mean, and probably a lot of the same guys will be doing a lot of the same stuff. I would suspect they're going to try to limit the amount of people that have to come in. That said, the Hamadou Diallos of the world will be happy to fly in to showcase themselves for a dunk contest or chance. Like, those guys, I think, will be happy to show up. It's the stars who don't want to do it. Do you think you mentioned the game's going to suck? I think the game's going to suck. Do you think there's any chance that once they get into it, they're going to do the Elam ending thing again, which produced probably the most entertaining All-Star game we've seen in years last year? They're still going to do the charity thing and divide it up by quarters and all that. Do you think there's any chance that the game actually turns out to be fun and good?
No, because I think
really. Like none. So, okay, better chance of happening. The Nets develop the ability to play defense that helps them win a title, or the All-Star game actually turns out to be competitive and fun.
I think the All-Star game ending up competitive and fun, because there's
a scathing indictment of the Nets.
Well, just there, I think there are more ways to make that happen. I mean, than I think there are for the Nets to end up.
I gotta be honest, I thought you were going to go the other way on that. I really thought you were going the other way on that.
I think this thing could potentially end up fun because the elements are all there. Like, unlike the Nets and defense, where the elements are not there, the pieces are not there. The pieces are there to make this thing fun and enjoyable and entertaining. I just don't think it will be, but they're going to have all the components. They're not going to be missing any ingredients. So if I have to play the odds, that's the way I'm going to play them. But
at least, can we do the picking of the teams like at center court this year?
Yeah, seriously. Just like something.
Something.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this because like these guys don't want to be there, but you want some type of televised event. You want something to make people tune into. And, you know, I guess you pay off these guys being all-stars. Like, remember during the pandemic when the NBA did that, like, virtual horse competition?
Yes, that was terrible.
It was terrible, but they tried.
It's awful. Like,
look, but you had to give them credit.
You and I, this is when we still worked at the station. We actually did a watch party for that. That's how desperate we were as a society for any kind of live televised sporting event. We had a watch party to watch them play horse over Zoom. And we knew within about, 4 minutes that it was going to be a terrible, terrible day.
You know what that watch party was? Poorly populated.
Yes, it was.
did not have a lot of people, but the league was trying to be creative.
We got pizza out of it though. That was good.
Yeah, we did. The league was trying to be creative. And you have to give them credit for actually trying to do that. Jeff says they should have had an actual horse playing. I'd have watched that.
Of course.
I was thinking like the league should just do something where the all-stars do like a virtual talent show or like some type of like virtual humble brag. Like Damian Lillard gets 15 minutes of freestyling. Or like, you know,
virtual LeBron, talent show.
Yeah, so like LeBron can take us on a tour of his tequila factory or his vineyard. And like Kyrie can like make some fake Jackson Pollock painting, like the artsy shit that he likes to think we think he does. Like Steph and his wife can cook together. Like Harden can just have a bunch of strippers and masks lap dancing him because that's what he does. And like Kawhi can just sit for 15 minutes quietly in a chair. But like everybody just gets to be at home. Like they do their thing at home. They get to show off something at home. They get honored for being all-stars, but they're not put out at all. And I would watch that. I would totally watch.
Like Giannis saying, you know, like, I actually, guys, I know I've been working on this on the recorder for a few months. That?
Okay. Jay Herr, perfect. Apple time. Kawhi sits down at a plate with a knife and fork and eats some apples. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yes. That would be that is actually like high comedy, like self-aware, yes, elevated comedy.
Would you not watch that? Like this thing that I'm proposing. Like, you know, you get 24 different players. They're the all-stars. They get like 10 minutes each to vamp in any way that they want. They can do it. Talent show. They can show off something that they want. They can just give a 10-minute speech.
Does De'Aaron Fox have a tight five?
Exactly.
We'll find out.
Exactly. These guys can do whatever they want as part of entertainment, but they are totally, totally inconvenient. I mean, not inconvenienced along the way.
Yeah, I'd vote for that.
I'd watch that over the All-Star game.
How about you just have different guys on each team play each other in one-on-one? Like go to the facility and like AD and LeBron play one-on-one. Well, not, you know, that doesn't work anymore, but you know, Kawhi and Paul George have to play one-on-one against each other. Like I'd watch that.
I'd totally watch that. That would be awesome. What, you know, my dream.
Like I'd watch Lou Will versus Terrence Mann. You know, well, just big one-on-one tournaments in every facility. It's something.
You know, my big dream for All-Star Weekend. Cause I feel like the game has run its course. Like last year, you know, the Elam thing helped out. Maybe they do that moving forward. It makes guys more excited. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, guys playing for Kobe and that game being a tribute to Kobe, I think contributed even more than the Elam thing. And that's not something that can be replicated all the time. And I'm glad for that. But, you know, there were very specific, you know, circumstances that I think led to that game being what it was last year, which was fantastic. But I feel like the game itself has run its course. I want to get all the all-star players at like one big card game, like super high stakes cards, like super high stakes dominoes. And they do that for the weekend instead of playing basketball. I would watch the shit out. Oh my God.
I would totally watch that.
I have been lobbying for this for like years, and you know, they can have the money go to charity, or you know, they can keep it. I don't care.
I just want to watch them do it.
Yeah, but like, I mean, we've heard stories before of these games and how heated and competitive and insane they can get, and the money that gets tossed around. Think if you actually watch that as a fan. That would be amazing.
I'm here for it. All right. Well, it doesn't. I don't think they're going to do any of that. Instead, you're now sulky, angry players who are in Atlanta when they don't want to be. And like, what makes it even worse is there's maybe Miami, LA. Atlanta's got to be no worse than third on the list of places where NBA players love to hang out.
Yeah,
and they're not going to be allowed to go anywhere. Like, if you're one of these other guys that gets out, like I heard some people say, like, oh, God, the players are going to be out. Like, you can't. No, they won't. Like, they're not, because any player who is any NBA player of any level who is seen out, their pictures can be taken, and the heat that they'll get for that just ain't worth it. They'll get crushed. You know, so they won't. They won't be out, and they're going to be like trapped at, like they were at Disneyland. It's like, you know, they're going to be trapped at like the greatest amusement park in America for these guys, and they can't go anywhere, and they're all going to hate it, and it's going to suck. All right, so that is, I think, everything we have. Correct, Andy, for tonight's Lando Lakers late night happy hour crossover. Tomorrow night, George Sedano is going to join the late night happy hour, 10 o'clock here on our social media feeds. We're going to introduce a new game that we hope to play regularly with George called George Sedano Explains Florida. Just the state, because he's a Miami native. He understands it there. Some great guests lined up next week, including Kavitha Davidson and Jessica Luther, Sabrina Merchant, and Sopan Deb from the New York Times. Covers the NBA there. Great culture guy, great NBA writer. So a ton of stuff coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, George Sedano on Friday, and we will see everybody tomorrow on the Late Night Happy Hour.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.